The last word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
To the United States now. This time tomorrow, he'll be gone. He'll be done with. Joe Biden will have replaced Donald Trump as President of the United States of America. But Cal Thomas, I want to start our American spot today by giving you an opportunity to lament what might have been if it hadn't been for what you describe as Donald Trump's malignant narcissism. Tell us what might have been.
Well, Matt, I think that Trump has done a lot of great things for the United States and, in fact, for the world with those Middle East peace agreements, making peace with Israel, with a domestic economy before COVID, with minority Americans having more jobs than ever before, with the stock market hitting record levels, and so many, many other things. But he's made this about himself largely and about his personality, and as I've written before, demeaning and putting down other people, fellow Americans who happen to believe differently in some things than he does or belong to a different party. And when you make yourself the issue, then you tend to cover up the other things that are quite good and let your political opponents focus on that, not your successes. So I wish we could have had a president who had a decent personality, who didn't demean other people, and had the record of success that Donald Trump has had on these and other issues.
Mary McKeown is in transit to Washington. She'll be with us for the inauguration program tomorrow. But I'm delighted that Larry Donnelly, Bostonian, who is a lecturer in NUIG, has agreed to step in for Marion this evening. Marion, what do you make of Cal's assessment? Are there achievements for which perhaps we here in Ireland don't give him credit and which he doesn't get credit because they've been overshadowed by what Cal has described as malignant narcissism?
I think they certainly have been overshadowed, as Cal has indicated there. I think one thing that I think can't be taken away in light of recent American history is that Donald Trump didn't entangle the United States in further conflict in the Middle East. I think that that's something that eluded his predecessors and something he probably deserves credit for. In terms of his other accomplishments, those really hinge on where you stand on the political spectrum. But in terms of doing what he said he would do, he lived up to an awful lot of that. And Cal is absolutely right. The persona overwhelmed the presidency in so many respects. Donald Trump came into 2020 looking like a reasonable bet for re-election. You can say he would have won except for COVID, and I think that's true. But even with COVID, had he stood back and not made himself the center of attention and the center of everything and delegated to the doctors and the experts, I think it could have been overcome. And even more, I think if Donald Trump in that first debate hadn't been so absolutely unhinged, I also think there's a chance he would have won this election. So I think Cal's point is well made, as frightening as we might all think it is. It's a case of what may have been for Donald Trump.
But is it also the case, Cal, you mentioned, you know, if it hadn't been for COVID, but that many people will remember in the history books will remember his utterly inadequate and selfish way of trying to deal with the crisis, which has led to, what is it, over 300,000 deaths in the United States?
Yeah, I agree with Larry. I think that making himself the center of this when he should have turned it over. I mean, he named Mike Pence the vice president, the head of the coronavirus task force. And then in those early news conferences or briefings, he came out and dominated most of the stage, while Pence and Dr. Birx and Dr. Fauci and the head of the CDC and the head of the Health and Human Services Department were almost secondary players. This was a time to step back, to say that the virus, it does not discriminate based on political worldview, but infects and affects everybody. I think a dose of humility is always something good. You remember Ronald Reagan used to make fun of his own age, and in the 1984 debate with Walter Mondale, he said, "I'm not going to make my opponent's youth and inexperience an issue in this campaign." Well, that was very funny and appealing to a lot of Americans. So, yes, you can be strong. Yes, you can argue for your position on issues, but a little humility and self-deprecating humor works very well in the United States, and I suspect in some other countries as well.
But Cal, wasn't it worse? And I know we're slightly going over old ground here, but I think it's still relevant. The more information we get about what happened on Capitol Hill on the 6th of January, the more excuses been given by the 100 or so people who were charged with what happened on Capitol Hill that evening, and all of them saying that they were responding almost to, patriotically to instructions from their president. You know, how much is he going to be remembered in history as not just a narcissist, but a divisive figure who actually fueled the rise of white nationalism again in the United States?
Well, 2 points on that, Matt. First of all, when you take on the establishment, as this outsider Donald Trump did, you're always going to be seen as divisive. There's nothing wrong with being divisive as long as the division line is along the right route. But I agree with you, and I've written this, and we've said this before, and when Marion's been on the program, I think his language did fuel some of this business, give permission for the extremes in this country. Look, we've got over 30,000 troops today on the streets of Washington, D.C. This is ridiculous. This is my hometown. I've never seen anything like this. You've got troops in major state capitals around the country. People are fearful. Biden has hired his own private security in on top of the 35,000 troops that are deployed. Blocks and blocks are blocked off, blocks of traffic, blocks of the city. One airline, American Airlines, is refusing to serve alcoholic beverages for any flights coming into or out of Washington. This is crazy time, and I think that President Trump has contributed substantially to that because of his rhetoric.
Larry Donnelly, watching from here in Ireland, back at what's happening in your homeland, what do you make of those extraordinary measures which have been had to be put in place for fear of insurrection tomorrow because of the significant numbers who, having listened to the lie after lie after lie from Trump since the time of the outcome of the presidential election, believe that this is not an accurate or fair result?
It's very, very sad. It's the nadir, I think, of a very, very hard time in American history. I think, again, to return to it, Hillary Clinton, whatever you think of her, I think she put it succinctly and she put it well. Donald Trump did not have the temperament to be president of the United States, and he never did. What he did on the 6th of January by inciting those people was absolutely detestable. There was only one way, in my view, those already manipulated, already radicalized people could have reacted to what he said and what his attitude on the day was. And I think the scenes that we see on, you know, not just in Washington, D.C., where the security is everywhere, of course, that's profoundly saddening. As we Americans, you know, our civic religion, whatever you think of it, is that we celebrate this peaceful transfer of power. We're pretty far removed from that, or at least the threat is omnipresent right now. And I'm also very worried, not just about Washington, D.C., but I'm perhaps even more worried about around the United States, 50 state capitals, all of which lay open to some sort of horrific attack or horrific violence. And I know the troops, I know the police are being dispatched, but the mere fact that they have to be, I think, is a damning indictment of this president. I think, again, reaffirms what his place in history will be, which is a very, very low one.
And Larry, what do you make of the details emerging of the individuals involved in that January 6th riot? About 100 of whom have now been arrested, facing charges. I'll just give you one example. This woman, a Texas real estate agent, who flew with mates on a private jet to join the riot in the Capitol. She's asked Trump for a pardon, saying she was only following his orders. She's only one of similar examples. What do you make of the type of person who's been involved?
Well, I think it's very hard to work up any sympathy for people who went along with that call, especially the ones who breached the border and went into the Capitol building. I have no sympathy for them whatsoever and hope they get hit with everything that's coming to them. But I think the important point to make here, Matt, is it's easy or maybe comforting to stereotype these people as sort of yahoos who are living in their mother's basements, et cetera, and to make negative judgments on them in that light. However, as we learn more about these people, you mentioned the woman who flew in a private jet, they actually represent a reasonable cross-section of America, at least in socioeconomic terms. You had lawyers, you had professional people of all sorts, you had retired military, retired police, retired firemen, all sorts of different strands of American society. And that they have been so manipulated by this president really, really is humbling. And one of the things that's most sad about it is that on that day, Donald Trump said, "You're very special. We love you." The reality is Donald Trump couldn't give a rat's ass about any of those people. They were only a means to an end. And I think it's a real indictment of his character.
And then, Cal, what about the Republican politicians, about the Senate and House of Representatives, who seem scared to call Donald Trump out for fear of either losing the votes of these people or for fear that they will be themselves victims of violence if they do?
I think a lot is going to depend, Matt, on what Trump does and how he is perceived in certainly the next couple of years. We've got another congressional election coming up in 2022. He may campaign for some of those candidates. And it depends also on who else might seek the nomination and whether they're afraid to do so as well. I think part of the problem in Washington has been, for at least the last 40 years, is that relatively little gets done. People don't really solve any problems, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, because they want the issue that they can use against their opponent in the next election. I know that sounds very cynical, but that's the way it's been. And Trump came in, whatever you think about him, and began to overturn tables. He began to challenge the establishment. He began to say, look, he said to the African-American community in 2016, look, you voted for these people for 40 years, meaning Democrats. What have they done for you? Why don't you try something different? And that has offended people in the media and in the establishment. And he has, he has overturned tables. He has become controversial. So we'll see what Joe Biden does. He says he's going to heal the country and all this.
That's a very kind way of describing much of the stuff that Trump did. And when we saw when people had the opportunity to vote in 2020, a referendum on his performance, we saw how they voted in a vast majority for Biden instead of Trump, particularly in those communities you just mentioned.
74 million, and he got more black votes and Hispanic votes than any Republican has in recent memory, maybe ever. And I think people in the minority communities are getting the message that they're kind of sick of Democrat politicians taking them for granted. They talk a great deal about systemic racism and inequality and income inequality, but what do they do for them? Do they give them school choice so that the children in poor neighborhoods can have a choice of a better public or private school to go to? No. Do they help them find jobs? Do they create an economy that will provide more jobs, especially for minorities? No. Do they do anything about the crime in these neighborhoods? No. They talk a lot about it, talk about passing more gun laws, but the murders continue in Chicago and Los Angeles and New York, and they never do anything about it, all run by Democrat politicians. So I think this has contributed a lot to the support that Donald Trump has had among minorities, and we'll see where this leads in another 2 to 4 years. In 4 years, he'll be the age that Biden is now. So by current standards, he won't be too old to run again.
OK, although he may have been impeached by that stage. And every time I hear somebody who's broadly supportive of Trump cite the 74 million votes, they never mention how Joe Biden got over 80 million votes and how he won the Electoral College vote and the popular vote by substantial margins. Let's hear a little bit of Melania Trump on the way out of the White House.
Be passionate in everything you do, but always remember that violence is never the answer and will never be justified. When I came to the White House, I reflected on the responsibility I have always felt as a mother to encourage, give strength, and teach values of kindness. The promise of this nation belongs to all of us. Do not lose sight of your integrity and values. Use every opportunity to show consideration for another person and build good habits into your daily lives. As the world continues to confront the COVID-19 pandemic, I thank all of the nurses, doctors, healthcare professionals, manufacturing workers, truck drivers, and so many others who are working to save lives. We grieve for the families who have lost a loved one due to the pandemic. Every life is precious, and I ask all Americans to use caution and common sense to protect the vulnerable, as millions of vaccines are now being delivered.
What was it on the back of that jacket you had? Do you think I care? Larry Donnelly, maybe better late than never, but does that sort of speech belatedly from Melania Trump convince you in any way?
I'm not so sure it convinces me, probably because I'm not so sure what to make of Melania Trump, and I never have been In some ways, and I agree that these words are too little too late in many ways. I wish we had heard them way back in March of last year. I think they would have been far more significant then. But I do have a certain sort of, I know she's been caught on camera making some rather unforgiving and not nice remarks, but I do retain a certain sense of sympathy for Melania Trump, you know, even as much as I disdain her husband, because I think she's been in a very, very difficult position for the past 4 years. And I think in some instances, because she is Donald Trump's wife, I think sometimes people have been unfair to Melania Trump, and also mindful that she hasn't, that they have indeed a very young son. So I would take this out of the realm, really, of politics and wish her and her son and whatever happens with them the very best. But I think she really has been a dark figure, in some ways a tragic figure in the context of the Trump presidency.
Okay, of course, tomorrow we have the inauguration of Joe Biden, Cal. Again, what does it say about the character of Donald Trump that instead of actually being there for the transition of power, that he has decided to leave ours beforehand, no handover as he benefited from the Obama family, and instead, in another example of malignant narcissism, is having his own event to mark his departure rather than actually marking, as would be normally fit and proper, the inauguration of a new president?
Right. It hasn't happened in over 100 years, Matt, and I think it's tacky, and I think it's un-American. I think something you played in the Melania Trump soundbite really, really touched me. She said, America belongs to all of us, meaning all Americans. That's a wonderful thing to say. And, of course, Biden has said that he doesn't even want Trump at the inauguration now, but that's after Trump said he wouldn't attend. I think it sends the wrong message, and I just think, you know, it's all part of the Trump brand that he's going to take with him back to Mar-a-Lago in Florida. And listen, this is not over. You know, the attorneys were in New York City. Cyrus Vance Jr., they're still looking into Trump's business dealings and other things, so he's not in any legal trouble, and the reports are that he's not going to pardon himself, which may be constitutionally impossible, or any of his family members. So we may still have Donald Trump to kick around for another year or two.
Cal Thomas will be back with us tomorrow. Mary McKeown is en route to Washington. She will be with us tomorrow as well. Larry Donnelly, thank you very much for stepping in this evening.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.